come and minister to us. Just do the things you want to do at this particular time in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, one of the things I would say about visions and dreams particularly is that one of the reasons is that it seems so hard, like out there kind of thing, is because we've made it hard. We've done that. And we've listened to things, we've heard people, and even some of the things we've studied are so complicated, we think that you have to just be very expertise and you have to be a genius to move into that kind of stuff, and it's just not hard. That's, if there's nothing else at this point about visions and dreams, hear me and trust what I'm saying. It's really not hard. And don't make it hard. Don't make it, what we've done, we've made it so mystical and so spiritual that it just seems out there. I remember years and years and years ago when I got filled with the Holy Spirit was in 1978. But I didn't really release things like prayer language in my life because I didn't have a theology for it. And as God adjusted that and that happened in my life, it became difficult for me because my head got in the way. I tried to figure it all out and I wanted it to make sense. I just couldn't own the fact that Scripture says, and your minds will be unfruitful. And so in trying to figure it out, I made it so difficult. I kept thinking the experience was going to be kind of like just being elevated off the floor, and you're in this mystical experience, something takes over, you know, and then you'll just start praying in tongues. And it's just not that hard. And it's not that mystical and that dramatic. But we make things like this so difficult, it becomes a barrier. The way things work in the Spirit is the more childlike you can become, the easier it is to navigate and carry the things of the kingdom. The more childlike you become, the more supernatural you'll live. Become like a little child if you're going to explore the kingdom of God. That's why we have so many dramatic signs and wonders and miracles happen in third world countries, because they're not educated beyond their spirituality. But in the West, we're so educated in this age of enlightenment that we live in that if we can't figure it out, we can't believe it. And one of the times I was there, and I was asking the Lord, I want to take this back, this anointing. And the Lord said, you can't take back what they have because they're childlike. Well, you can take back what you have right now in this context. You be childlike, and you'll be able to cross some barriers that can't be crossed in the West. You know, but God will make us childlike, and where we're just desperate for Him, and we don't have to have explanations. And so that, to help you understand, just become more childlike, and don't be afraid of looking stupid, being goofy, being silly. Speaking in tongues is goofy. Your mind is unfruitful. And it's very difficult for the intellect to enter into those kind of things because they can't figure it out. They want to figure it out. And it's really the simpler you become, the more childlike you become, the more you'll move in the transrational, in the Spirit. Father Aaron was asking me, do I dream or do I have visions? I do both. I dream every day of my life. If I go to sleep for 15 minutes, I dream. That's just always been there. But He's going to pray for you. I'm going to pray for you today. Just a little simple prayer, because I want you to, we're going to do some practicing tomorrow. I want you to write down the dreams that you have. I have some dreams I'm going to share with you, and I want you to help me interpret them. I had some dreams this week. God said, don't try to figure them out. Just bring them here. It'll be good practice for us. It's probably what we'll do tomorrow afternoon or so. You know, also, we have a session on Saturday morning, and the session on Saturday morning is taking it to the streets, where Father Mark's going to take you out there, and you're going to go to people, and you're going to minister to them, and you're going to pray for them to be healed, but you're also going to speak, you're going to see visions, and you're going to ask them questions, you're going to speak words in their life, and that's good, because we take it. Wimber used to say, the meat is in the streets. We think the meat's in the here, but the meat's in the streets. When you get what you get, and you go out and take it out to the world, so we want to make sure we do that. What I want to do this afternoon is, and not take a lot of time, I'm actually going to preach from my iPad some. And is I want to finish. And again, I don't say this apologetically, but I trust you're bearing with me to lay some foundational things, to reinforce some foundational things. We're going to do plenty of dreams and visions tomorrow, and God's going to encounter us in profound ways. But what I'm after is maturity. Now, not everybody is mature. If you're just 2 years old in the Lord, you're 2 years old in the Lord. But what we want to see when the 2 year old in the Lord is to grow, to experience something that's sustainable, that keeps on growing. So I'm going to give you some things, and this is going to finish that up today. Tomorrow I'll do more in the morning, crash course on dreams and visions from my place and my perspective. And again tomorrow afternoon, we're going to do some lab. We're going to have some fun together. But it's so important to me that you understand some basic things that are absolutely necessary for us to grow in a sustainable way, to live a lifestyle, a supernatural lifestyle of the life of Christ, okay? Because what I'm going to share is going to affect every part of your life. For Stacy, I had a vision of you today that you were building some steps, and they were portable steps, so it was just like 3 or 4 steps. And you were working hard, diligently. You had a hammer and all the tools, and you were just building steps about that wide, and it went about this high, and you were building them, and you were working hard at them. And it's like the Lord was saying that this whole process, this transition, is difficult. And it's more difficult, it's going to be more difficult than you thought. But it's God's way of, you're building steps of faith. This is necessary, the transition's necessary for the destination. Because there's a level of faith that God's going to have you guys walk in to steward what you're asking God for you to be able to steward that, for Mark to be able to pastor that and shepherd that. And so there's just some things God's doing and using this as an acceleration course. One of those summer Jan terms or summer term things that God's building your faith as you see him work out very practical issues. Okay? Alrighty. And also for you, behind Shelby, I just see you as a digger. And you're digging right now. You're mining for things. And you're looking for a breakthrough, some spiritual stuff. That's a good thing. God does. And you're just about to break through into that next chamber where the layers or the core of gold is. And you've been on your hands and knees. So there's been a lot of prayer when I see that. But your hands and knees, like working, like digging this mine or this tunnel. And you're about to break through in that room where the veins, that's the word, the veins of gold are at. Okay? All right. So what I want to talk to you about, one of the things about prayer and about intimacy, Mike said it again today, about intimacy, in Revelation chapter 4, verse 1, he says, come up here, and I will show you what must take place. I will show you. And it says that again several places in Revelation. And Revelation, if you've heard me talk before, is not just about somebody getting eschatological visions of end times, even though that's what's happening. But I think it's happening in the normal context of a 92-year-old man who laid his head on the breast of Jesus and his life was transformed forever 60 years earlier. And the way the title that this apostle, this elder, this great man of God liked to use about himself the most was bondservant. And if you know, a bondservant was one every year of the year of Jubilee. If you were serving because your family owed debt and so you were working for some other family, from some other man, some other master, at the end of those 49 years, you were supposed to be set free. And your debts were all clear in that, 49-year cycle. But if you had come to so have affection and love and appreciate the one that you were now working for, you could become a permanent slave. It was a volunteer slave, but it was done out of affection and love. So it's a volunteer servant of love. And they would drill this hole in your ear, and you'd wear this ring, and it would identify you as somebody, because if they saw you after the year of Jubilee still serving like a slave, they would take your master to court because he didn't keep the law. But when you wore that thing in your ear, it was a sign that you'd been marked for him voluntarily and that you were still a servant, but you did it out of love. You chose to live that way the rest of your life out of love. That's a bondservant. It says that about Mary being a bondservant. In Revelation chapter 1, which is the real insight to open up the rest of the book, John says this, the Holy Spirit says this through John, the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now the word revelation there is just the word the unveiling. The unveiling. The unveiling of a person, Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show to his bondservants. And so this unveiling, this learning how to hear God in dark sayings and learning how to hear God in all the ways, we want to grow in that, wanting to see his beauty in all of his expressions, that unveiling is opened up particularly. It's for all of us, but those who have the heart of a bondservant, that their great desire in life is to be a volunteer prisoner of the love of Jesus. And that his presence is the greatest priority of your life, and loving him is your great pursuit. Isn't what he said? Pursue love. Desire, earnestly desire the gifts of the Spirit, but pursue love. And that first love that you pursue is your first love relationship with Jesus. That's when we said his presence is the most important thing. So even though we're going to hear a lot of cool things tonight and again tomorrow, I'm going to share a lot of my dreams and visions just to help encourage you. What I'm telling you now, what I said to you this morning, are the most important things we'll get down in our spirit. See, we want to skip that first thing, but if we do, it'll never be sustainable. Everything is sustainable because of our relationship with him. And there's a real calling on my life, not just as a pastor, but even as a person who has this prophetic mantle on him, to call us back to this again and again. If you ever read any of Heidi Baker's books, and she moves in extraordinary signs and wonders, but in her, I think maybe it was her last book or the one before that called Birthing the Miraculous, it's all about the foundation of intimacy, life in the secret place, you know, cultivating his presence and things flowing out of that place. And so get excited about this, because this is the most exciting thing in the world. So bear with me again this afternoon for a few minutes. I want to share a few things. I'm going to do it in simple form, so that there are things that maybe they'll impact you and cause you to these are things, and I'm going to put things in ways that came out of my own secret place time with the Lord. What we've been doing around here is studying the book of Acts. Because the book of Acts is the manual for normal Christianity in every generation. You need to really get that down. Because we read all these books about what normal Christianity should be like, revival culture, revival generation, the life of people like Heidi Baker and others. But what if there was a manual out there, and this was the manual on what normal Christianity is supposed to look like in every generation, and it was the manual on growing and advancing the kingdom, the church growth manual, the kingdom spread manual. We would want to do that a lot, wouldn't we? We want to read that a lot. And a few months ago, the Lord spoke to me. He said, I want you to study the manual. I thought, what do you mean? He said, I want you to study the book of Acts. And he said, and if you'll study the book of Acts will study you, because we're coming into a time in this generation, in the body of Christ, where we're no longer studying the Word is now also studying us. Westerners love to study the Word. We love to gather information. We love to gather information, more and more information. But some of the simplest Christians in the world that I've ever met, been around, move in the greatest manifestation of signs and wonders, because they maintain consistently and tenaciously a place of intimacy in the secret place with the Lord. And so what God's Word is now doing, studying us and calling us to measure up, calling us to adjust and change. And so what we're doing here, we made this commitment congregationally that I'm not going to preach through the book of Acts just so we can be fascinated again and have more information. We're only going to study the book of Acts if we're prepared to adjust to the manual every time the manual exposes the fact that that's not where we're at. Whether it's in praying for the sick or giving or extravagant lifestyle or whatever, we're adjusting to the manual. We're no longer going to ask the manual to adjust to us so that we feel comfortable with where we're at. Okay? So there are some things that... And this then that response to him calling up here in the place of prayer, where we learn how to see things. I said that earlier today, that our seeing stuff kind of grows. Again, Song of Solomon, chapter 2. Let me take this off because I do not want to make you late. I want you to get a little rest. And that Song of Solomon, chapter 2, amazing scripture. Again, where it says in verse 14, O my dove, in the cleft of the rocks, in the secret place of the steep pathway, let me see your presence. And the word there, presence, is let me see your appearing. You're coming into me. You're setting aside time for me. Let me hear your voice, for your voice is sweet. And your form, your presence is lovely. And the word lovely there, the root Hebrew word is, your form is home. And God makes his home in a life that hides, that spends time in the secret place of the steep pathway. You hear what I just said to you? If you want to know an abiding, remaining experience of his presence and all that comes with his presence, because remember, heavens drop at the presence of the Lord, I'm with you. I want to see all the signs and wonders. I want to see 100% of the people we pray for healed. I want all of us to flow at a high level in visions and dreams and signs and wonders and all those kind of things, and we will get there. What I'm giving you is a shortcut. That's why it's more important than all the things I'm going to say afterwards, because this is foundational for all that stuff to grow and to happen in your life. All right? And the Lord makes his home in a life that seeks his face. The Lord makes his home in a life that seeks his face. And because he's supernatural by nature, it's the essence of who he is, wherever he makes his home, fireworks happen all the time. I love Song of Solomon chapter 4, when he's speaking about attributes, growing attributes about us. How beautiful you are, my darling, how beautiful you are. Your eyes are like doves behind the veil. And as you spend life, we talked about this a year ago, as you learn how to spend your life behind the veil, one of the things that happens is you begin to cultivate dove's eyes. And you begin to see through the veil into this reality as the Holy Spirit sees, as Jesus sees. You cultivate dove's eyes. Now, it's behind the veil, so everybody in the world doesn't always understand how you think and why you say what you say. It's behind the veil. And those who spend their whole life on the other side beyond the veil and never hang out behind the veil, they're not going to understand. His ways are not our ways. But you'll learn to function with heavenly mindedness. You'll be able to see what he sees. And when you begin to see what he sees, and you begin to move in that kind of faith that sees what he sees behind the veil, Jesus will begin to perform signs and wonders beyond the veil, because you release him to do that. All right? But you won't think like everybody else thinks. When I go into a restaurant or a crowd full of people, and there's all these kind of conversations going on, it's real distracting, because behind the veil, I got all these other conversations going on. I'm seeing all kinds of stuff, seeing hurting people, people depressed, people who are suicidal, people who've lost loved ones, all this stuff going on, brokenness. And I have to choose to not look at that if I'm going to enjoy the meal. But there's just another world going on. But it's cultivated behind the veil. You get dove's eyes. You see what he sees. And that's the quickest way to live a life of sustainable dark sayings. Not just, it's how you live Christianity and supernatural life, but you want to be a person of vision, dreams, all these stuff growing in you, this is where it's got to be cultivated. So I'm glad that you come to conferences, but let me just say this to you. Come to the next one, and next one, and next one, and next one. But the best thing in the world I could ever say to you is that here's the conference, now here's the word. Seek God. Now, conference is over, go home and start doing that. I hope I didn't talk myself out of people coming to conference. And we're going to probably, this time next year, probably this conference will be a whole conference about seeking God. How? Giving you tips, showing you things. That's just been worked out over some decades. Now, I want to talk to you about the manual then in Acts. And some important things about Acts. You know, it's interesting that Acts, there are three places in the book of Acts where there were amazing breakthroughs. And there were forerunner persons or people who, behind the veil, in the secret place, in the place of prayer, pressed in and contended and waited before the Lord expectantly. In Acts chapter 1, when he talks about waiting until the Holy Spirit comes, the word there is to wait circling while looking at. It's not just hanging out. It's like circling something, waiting for something to happen. So it's waiting with a sense of anticipation. Because God talked about this promise. Well, if it's a promise, it's a promise. So you're not pleading and begging. You're just waiting for the jack to come out of the box. And somehow you're looking is like turning the crank. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, and you don't know when it's going to happen. That's why it always comes. It's a suddenly, especially if it's your first time with that particular one. I want you to hear this. So you're cranking that by your waiting, your prayer, your time in the secret place. You're like, dun 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 dun. Jack in the box. Waiting cultivates suddenlies. It's a contradiction. But suddenlies come to those who wait expectantly. But there are three places where there were shifts that were made, where there were people or person who were contending by waiting expectantly, and they experienced a suddenly and a breakthrough. And the result of that is everybody else was able to just walk into that place that had been opened by these ones who waited and contended. You hear what I'm saying? There was a forerunner people, and because out of prayer, something happened, and the result is others were just able to walk in. That's in Acts chapter 2, that Pentecost happened in the context of prayer. Remember, let me just read you what the Lord said to them, to remind you. The first account I composed, Theophilus, about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up after he had by the Holy Spirit given orders to his apostles whom he had chosen. And to these he also presented himself alive after his sufferings by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over a period of 40 days and speaking of the things concerning the kingdom. 40-day seminar on the kingdom. Because that was the message and the ministry of the Jesus, was preaching the kingdom and demonstrating the kingdom. And now we all have that same ministry. As a matter of fact, we don't just have the same ministry, we have the same Jesus. We have the same Spirit. We have the same power. Gathering them together, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait. There's that word. For what the Father had promised, which he said, you have heard of from me. For John baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they were asking him, saying, Lord, is it this time you're restoring the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the epochs which the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you shall receive power. He said, this is all I want you to think about right now, boys. You shall receive power. Not achieve power, but receive power. The word power is just the word ability. Jesus received the ability of the Father by the Holy Spirit. We receive the ability of Jesus to live the Christian life, thus to see visions, thus to perform miracles, thus to have supernatural dreams, because we have the mind of Christ. Be very practical with that. He says, for you will receive the ability of Jesus when the Holy Spirit has come upon us, and then you shall be witnesses. Now, isn't it interesting? He says, wait. Don't go witness to anybody about me, period. Nothing more dangerous than unenlightened enthusiasm. He said, don't go tell anybody that you belong to me until you receive the ability of Jesus. Then you can go and bear witness, not just that you saw the resurrection, but you're experiencing the resurrection every single day. Then you're witness of Jesus is alive and he's working and living through me. That's the book of Acts. The book of Acts is the continuation of the message, ministry, life of Jesus through a new body called his church, made up of you and me. Now here's the interesting thing. He says, not many days from now, or the idea is there, he didn't give them a specific thing. He didn't tell them it was going to be 10 days. He didn't tell them it was going to be Pentecost. He talked about fixed times. And you see, I've come to believe this. A lot of things when God says about fixed time, the fixed times are dependent on you and me. When you get to the boiling point, that's when it's done. That's the fixed time. The fixed time is waiting on you to get to the place where you're now positioned to enter in. It's not that you're trying to achieve something. It's just that God's positioning you and you're waiting. And there are three times this happened. One here, Pentecost. The other time is in Acts chapter 10, and when it talks about Cornelius, and God honored his prayers. It says his prayers were like a memorial before the Lord. And as a result of his prayers, it stood like a memorial before God constantly. I love that concept. The fullness of time came to pass. And because of that breakthrough, the gospel went to the Gentiles. And Peter's vision, but Peter's vision was all in response to this man, this converted Jew who was a Gentile, his prayers being a memorial before God. And then Acts chapter 13, as those guys at Antioch were ministering to the Lord. So that's our first calling in life, is to minister to him. He says, your voice is sweet. Your presence is lovely. He likes to make his home there. This blows my mind that I'm able to ravish his heart. And in that context of seeking him, seeking his face, of waiting before him, there's a breakthrough. And the mission, the first missionary act to the nations, all those people were able to just walk through, and Paul and Barnabas and then Silas. Of course, you know, Silas was a prophet. You know that, right? The scripture says. But it was accomplished there. The breakthrough was there. They were worshiping God. They were ministering to him. And in that, the Holy Spirit said, set apart Paul and Barnabas. And missions, it became an international message, not just to local Gentiles or Jews. So in all those places, we have forerunner people whose first passion was to wait before the Lord and to minister to his heart. And in doing that, there was a suddenly. And those persons or person like Cornelius, they were something that so shifted in them that they were able to participate in a breakthrough. And the result of the breakthrough is just others were able to just walk into that place. That's one of the real principles in the book of Acts. And there's some things I want to share with you. And again, I'm going to make this real simple. In light of our time, just some phrases, and this is not me trying to be cute, but there are just things, some things that God gave me that helped me to remember, that helped me to encounter. Again, he didn't tell them how many days. He just says, not many days from now. And then, as they were waiting before the Lord, it says in verse 2 of chapter 2, and suddenly there came a mighty rushing wind. You see, we talked about this recently for any CTKers are here. We always talk about the Holy Spirit being a gentleman, and I understand what we mean by that. He's not going to, you know, well, I can't say those things. He's embarrassed me before, and I'm not promising you anything. But I am telling you, though, when there's a breakthrough, he's like a mighty rushing wind, a violent rushing wind. And he just does stuff. As you wake before him and there are suddenlies, he just rearranges the furniture. You know, he just does. There's upheaval. It talks about that in Nahum, that God's presence, he brings upheaval. When the voice came to John, this man, this bondservant, this volunteer lover of God, isn't it awesome that that's the ones who get to experience the greatest level of unveilings? Is if you want to be a bondservant, sign up for that. You want a title? Sign up for that one. God, I want to be a volunteer lover of Christ whose purpose in life and goal is life. I have a lot of things I do. There are a lot of assignments. I want to give my whole heart to the assignments, but my dream, my purpose is to love you with all my heart and to carry your presence, to be an image bearer, to reveal your likeness. You see, so there's some things. They position themselves to receive the more in the posture of prayer. They were believing God for more. God had promised more. He had promised the Holy Spirit. It was a promise. So in that sense, it's a done deal. And so it didn't manipulate God or maneuver God, but in that place of prayer, God was posturing them to be able to receive the more. There's a heavenly sequence that sustains revival in a person's life, in a place's life, and this is it. You've heard me say this before, those who insult me. If you want to go farther, you got to go deeper. The width of your ministry among men and women is going to be totally dependent, and it being long-standing, lasting, on the depth of your relationship with God. Prayer, then power. Worship before witness. And I don't mean by that worship just like coming and singing songs. We're going to do that. We're going to worship God. But just being a worshiper. The Father's looking for what? True worshipers. The word could be translated adorers. God's looking for adorers who minister to him. Isn't that what it says in 2 Chronicles 29? Of course, I know you've been thinking about that today. 2 Chronicles. My sons, do not be negligent now, for the Lord has chosen you to stand before him, to minister to him, and to be his ministers and burn incense. Our first calling as priests, and we're all priests, right? The priests of the believer, a kingdom of priests. Our first role, our first responsibility is to minister to him. And out of that place, we minister for him. Always worship before witness. And that has to be a lifestyle. You know, somebody wrote, I think it was the book Larry Lee wrote many, many years ago, Can You Spend 1 Hour With Me? And he just traced through the fact that everything Jesus did in ministry always flowed out of his time in prayer. He said that Jesus just ministered between going from prayer to prayer to prayer. And in between the journeys to prayer to prayer to prayer, he ministered. Worship comes before witness. And I hope what's not happening in you is like, oh no, prayer, that's like the most unfun thing. It's like eating old graham crackers. This is just horrible. And you feel pressure and you feel guilty. Let me just set you free. Then just do 5 minutes. Start there. A single glance, Song of Solomon says, ravishes his heart. You know what? It doesn't really please Olivia if I go, honey, I just want to spend some time with you. And I get there and she says, why do you want to spend time with me? Because I feel guilty when I don't. And I'm actually planning on sleeping most of the time. Olivia would rather me spend 5 minutes of passionate time with her because I want to be there. I want to bless her heart. I want to minister to her. Than me spend 5 hours sleeping and feeling guilty. You hear me? We got to break out of this religious nonsense. I would rather you spend 5 minutes with God. Start there and be present to Him. I guarantee you, if you'll spend 5 minutes with Him for a month, a day, it'll be more. It'll come more because it becomes so captivating. He's so captivating. His beauty becomes so captivating that you'll just want more and more and more. I guarantee you that. I hated prayer. I got so bored in prayer. It was just another responsibility. I could have been doing something productive like watching old Fred McMurray or John Wayne or somebody. Prayer was awful. But prayer is the most exciting thing I do. Because I broke out of a lot of things, and I do, and this is one of the reasons I want to have that conference here now. Tell you some things, teach you some things. And I learned who I was, the worst prayer and faster in the history of the world. Whenever I fasted, I dreamed about pork chops jumping over fences just to try to go to sleep. I would dream that I was in a room full of jelly rolls. I had 30 seconds to eat my way out or I was going to die. Cherry jelly rolls. It used to be lemon jelly rolls, but lemon jelly rolls are too rich. Cherry jelly rolls. And you had 30 seconds. That's my life. But I love to fast. I love to pray. It's the most exciting thing I do. It's the most non-boring thing I ever do. It's fascinating. Because I discovered some things about the beauty of the Lord and some ways to pray, what prayer is supposed to be. Revelation is just the story of a man at prayer, a 92-year-old man at prayer. He got some different insights and visions in that time of prayer, but I think that's how his prayers went all the time. Because prayer is being invited up here. We were laughing today about people having third heaven experiences, and I'll share a little bit about that tomorrow, but I'm going to tell you, every time I pray, every time you pray, you're invited into the throne room. Amen. That's where prayer happens. And there ain't nothing boring about the throne room. Intimacy always positions us for His adequacy. And if you're going to grow in signs and wonders and all those things, the foundation has to be intimacy or it won't be sustainable. You'll get tired of the thrill of the miracle. There's got to be more. You were created for relationship. So was I. This one. Everything that requires power down in the streets flows from the passion that happens up in the upper room. Everything that requires power down in the streets flows from the passion in the upper room. And this one was not mine, but I love it. The more we marinate, the more we accelerate. Isn't that good? Remember I think it's in Zechariah when I've shared this with some of you before, where they were praying for God to stay this time. Zechariah. Because they've known His visitations. 13 times in Judges, Israel's up and down, up and down, up and down. So they're praying for something to happen. There'd be a habitation, not just a place of visitation. And they prayed, stay with us, O Lord. That's what we want. We want a move of God where He stays. I don't want to go to Africa or in Selma. We talk about 20 years from now. Remember that move of God? It lasted like 5 years. And every move of God since the Protestant revival has been like that. The great Welsh revival did not last very long at all. It accomplished a lot, but how much would it have accomplished in Europe if it had been sustainable? If He's going to stay with us this time, then we're going to have to stay before Him this time. If He's going to stay with you this time, in terms of revival personally, you got to stay before Him this time. I mentioned to you what the word wait means, and it means to abide around, against, leaning up against, kind of with, okay, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Da, 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 da. Knowing it's coming, but you just don't know when, so you just keep at it until... While we wait, because this is what happens. Are we overcoming His reluctance as we wait before Him? No. While we wait before Him, He works in us. My prayer these last few months has been, oh God, I'm seeking You. And I want to put myself in position where you can do whatever you need to do, shifting whatever you need to shift in me. Work in me so that I'm postured to carry the more. More of your presence and more of your anointing experientially. Because I have it all in Christ. I want it all released in my life. I don't have to earn it. But I do believe there are things in me he wants to shift. And my waiting before him gives him permission to do workings in me. After these many days, it says in the King James Version, when the day of Pentecost, and it should be translated this way, out of the New American Standard, had fully come. There is a time when it's fully come. You don't know when it is. But the joy of waiting before him isn't just about the suddenly. It's just him. But if you'll just wait before him with expectancy, there'll come a time when suddenlies occurs. And suddenlies are primal shifts, leaps in the Lord, leaps. God gave a prophetic word a few months ago. We posted on Aslan. We're in a season of quantum leaps. But this time, the quantum leaps are going to also include growth spurts. No more quantum leaps for the immature, because they can't steward them. Quantum leaps that bring growth spurts. So there are things that God wants to change in us. And it says that it's in the lingering before him that we are positioned for the leaps in him. But here's the deal. I want to keep lingering in him because if there was nothing else promised but his presence, it's worth it. But I don't want to just take a leap and then 10 years talk about that leap. I want to take 7 or 8 or 10 more leaps this year. It's like, remember the promises in Scripture about multiple harvests? You know, Bob Jones had a prophetic word. When we shared with him, when me and Father Craig met with him, we talked about this. I had this dream about a spiritual Olympics in Selma. And so we were up there. I had it that night. And then the next day we met with him, and I shared that with him. And he went, oh, yeah, 15 years ago, I had this prophetic dream about spiritual Olympics where the Alabama River and the Cahaba River meet, that whole region. And so we just began to share this thing about, and he said, one of the things I saw were multiple harvests. In 1 year, there'd be multiple harvests. Well, I don't think it could be. Was talking about physical harvests, that could be. He's talking about multiple spiritual harvests, multiple leaps. Boom, boom, boom. The more. Because you see, the things of Christ are unsearchable. There's no fathom. You can't count the fathoms. You never stop. For if all the fullness of deity is embodied in him, all the fullnesses of deity is embodied in him, and we have been made complete in him. So everything that he is and everything the Father has, he has, according to John 16. And that's in me, ready to be released in me, leaps after leaps. You'll never stop the leaps. And they're all quantum leaps. Multiple harvest. And I'm excited about living in an environment that's becoming prime for multiple harvest. But I want to position myself. I want to put myself in position so that shifts can come so I can carry a greater presence and greater anointing. Amen? And I want leaps after leaps after leaps after leaps. And I'll stop with this, is that what I love here, too, in the book of Acts, is that it happened to them as a group. The principle of coming into agreement, that a whole group of people can do that together. You see, that's what I'm praying for, that a whole city will come together, that all of the places where you're at, that'll happen. That people will be so desperate, but not in a miserable way. You know, it's like me saying, do you like chocolate pie? Well, if you really love chocolate pie, prayer is like chocolate pie, the best chocolate pie ever. And you have been created with the capacity to eat as much chocolate pie as you want. And so there's like chocolate pie, and you're going to take a leap, and you're going to be able to do 10 chocolate pies and 20 chocolate pies and 30 chocolate pies. I came that you might have chocolate pie and chocolate pie more abundantly. He did, you know. He didn't come out, you might have life and have it more miserably. He didn't come that you might have life and barely get by. In a fallen world full of all kinds of warfare, he came that you and I might have life and have it more abundantly. Jesus lived the above life, and he's called us to live the same thing. What I'm sharing with you is for that to be sustainable. If you're going to know the life of Christ being lived through you in the public place, consistently ever-growing, beyond the veil, and you're going to have to be committed to live your life in him behind the veil. And then what you'll discover is no matter how good it is out there, it's always better back there in him behind the veil. No matter how more and more you steward and carry his likeness and his presence and his anointing, behind the veil is where the chocolate pies are baked. C.S. Lewis said this, it's always bigger on the inside than it is on the outside. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit.